Proverbs chapter 24 tonight, reading from verse 23 through 26. Last week we were in verses 19 through 22, and we titled that Fear God and the King. Tonight I'm just going to give the title. I'm taking it from verse 23, and that's going to be our focus, but I'm just going to title it Respect of Persons. He says here in verse 23, he said, "These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. He that saith unto the wicked, Thou art righteous, him shall the people curse, nations shall abhor him. But to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them." Verse 26, "Every man shall kiss his lips that giveth a right answer." Father, we do thank you for this day and for this evening that we can gather together. We pray, Lord, for thy will to be done in the service tonight, your blessings upon the reading of thy word. For it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to focus in on verse 23, but let me make some comments on each one of them first. Now, some of the Proverbs are quoted or alluded to in the New Testament. And we find here, especially in verse 23, in reference to respective persons when it comes to judgment, we find that this is a principle that's found throughout the Old Testament and also throughout the New Testament. We're going to read a few passages tonight in the Old Testament, then we're going to go and close in the New Testament. Now, notice he begins here in verse 23. And I'm going to read this, make a few comments on it. We'll read the other verses, and then we'll turn away from it. But notice in verse 23, "These things also belong to the wise." In other words, we were looking at leaders and the subjects last week. And so when he says here, verse 23, "These things also belong to the wise," this is lessons for all of us, whether we be subjects or whether we be in authority. So this applies to all. And then notice he says in verse 23, "It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment." This is an evil not only in the state, but also in the church sometimes. And when he says here, "This is not good," he said, "It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment." When he says it is not good, he's saying it's very bad. In other words, what we're looking at is something that's evil, it's sinful, it's wrong, it's unlawful, as we look in the Scripture. And the result of violating this principle will always be the perverting of judgment. And notice, again, verse 23, "These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment." Well, let's turn to just two verses in chapter 18 and in verse 5. Chapter 18 and verse 5. And notice here he said this. He said, "It is not good to accept the person of the wicked to overthrow the righteous in judgment." Notice again, chapter 28 and verse 21. Chapter 28 and verse 21, especially the first clause that I'm interested in here. He said in chapter 28, verse 21, he said, "To have respect of persons is not good, for a piece of bread that man will transgress." Again, we see the issue of respect of persons. Now, come back to our text. Now, whether this would be in a court of law or just you and I individually or personally, it's what the verse is referring to. It'd work in either way. And we find here that we are to judge all by the same standard, and that is based upon their character. And we're not to judge them based upon station of life, their wealth or their poverty or the color of their skin or anything else. In other words, we're to judge righteously, and I'll give you a verse on that in just a moment. But let's go to verse 24, 25, and 26 and just make a few brief comments because I want to focus in on verse 23. Now, in verse 24, he says this. He said, "He that saith unto the wicked, Thou art righteous. Him shall the people curse, and nations shall abhor him. If you want some references on it, chapter 17 and in verse 15 is a good verse to go along with this. We've covered that as we've come through the book of Proverbs. It says there, he that justified the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord. And another really good verse to go along with this is the book of Isaiah. Not asking you to turn there, but Isaiah 5, verse 20 says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. In other words, distorting the truth. He also says in verse 23, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. And so in verse 24, he that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, notice it says, him shall the people curse and nations shall abhor him. In other words, we find that this is the perversion of that which is right. And the people of the land will speak out against that. The average person knows that it's wrong to pervert the judgment, whether it be personally, in the church, or in a court of law. And notice in verse 25, he said in verse 25, he said, but to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. And so we find here the righteous person or the righteous judge who rebukes the wrong shall have a pure conscience and also have blessings from others to be poured out upon them. And one writer put it this way, speaking of this, he said, the purity of the judicial bench is one of the greatest of public blessing. In other words, to have justice and equality, whether, again, it be in our lives individually, the church, or the judicial system. Now, verse 26, he said in verse 26, every man shall kiss his lips that giveth a right answer. These are one of those verses you have to think about a little bit. We know that a kiss is a sign of love and affection. And so I believe what he's talking about here is that that he shall be highly praised or highly honored by the people. In other words, a person that does right, makes the right decisions, that he will be honored by the people. And when he says here, and giveth a right answer, in other words, that is to speak the right words and oppose deception or that which is wrong. But I want to come back to verse 23, and I want you to notice, again, as we read this. This is a principle that we see, again, throughout the Scripture, Old and New Testament, and I thought it would be worthy to spend just a little bit of time on it. Let me read verse 23 again, and then we're going to go to the book of Leviticus, and you can turn loose of Proverbs. He says, these things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect to persons in judgment. And I not only highlighted the respective persons in my Bible, but I squared out the two words, not good, so that when I turn to this, they'll jump out at me. Well, notice now as we go to Leviticus, let's read a few verses in the Old Testament, and then we'll turn to the New Testament. Leviticus 19, in Leviticus chapter 19. Now, we find this in God's holy law. We find this given by Moses here in the Old Testament. We're going to find it also under the New Covenant in the New Testament. He says here in Leviticus chapter 19, notice with me in verse 15. He said this, he said, you shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shall thou judge thy neighbor. Turn with me now to Deuteronomy chapter 1. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 1. Again, this is given to us by Moses, ultimately by God, but through Moses. Now, when he talks about respect of persons, we're to let our opinions or judgments of others be absolutely scriptural, not prejudice. The word prejudice has the ideal of prejudging, to prejudge something. And we're to let it not be by the outward appearance, but based upon the heart. And we'll see that especially as we get into the New Testament. Psalms 82, verse 2, we'll not turn to it, but said, "How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked?" Well, notice as we come here to Deuteronomy chapter 1, and I'm not going to turn the other verses in Deuteronomy, but it also speaks of this in chapter 10, verse 17, and also chapter 16 and in verse 19. But I want to read two verses from Deuteronomy chapter 1. And by the time we get into the New Testament, especially the book of James, we'll see this very clearly. He said in Deuteronomy 1, verse 16 and verse 17, he said, "I charge your judges at that time, saying, hear the cause between your brethren, and judge righteously between every man and his brother, and the stranger that is with thee." He said in verse 17, "You shall not respect persons in judgment, but you shall hear the small as well as the great. You shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is God's." And he said, "And the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it." Again, these two verses clearly shows us that we're not to have respect in persons when it comes to judgment. We're always to judge righteous things. We're not to favor one above another. That's what it means to have respect and judge. We're not to favor one person above another just because we like them or they have a better status and life and whatever. We'll be to fair in our judgment, our opinions, with everything. Now, let's go to the New Testament and first of all, the book of Acts. Notice with me in Acts chapter 10. Now, this is the story of Cornelius, a Gentile. This is where the door of faith began to open up for the Gentile world. And the Jews, many of the Jews did not like to associate with the Gentiles. And even here in Acts chapter 10, even though the Great Commission was to begin in Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, and then go to the othermost parts of the world, we still find that even here in Acts 10, the Lord had to give Peter a vision to get him to go to the Gentiles, even though that was in the Great Commission, as we call it. But he had to have a vision here. Now, Cornelius got a vision to send for Peter. And Peter got a vision to go with those that were to come and to go to this Gentile centurion and to his house. Well, Cornelius gathered people together, family and I guess friends and so forth, gathered them together to hear Peter speak unto them. So I'm going to come in Acts chapter 10, and I want to come down to verse 33, 34, and 35. He says in verse 33, "Immediately therefore I sent to thee," that is Cornelius to Peter, "and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." We should pray that all would feel this way like Cornelius. Amen. And that we would be ready always to hear God's word. Amen. Whether we read it or we hear it. And Cornelius is just saying, "Hey, listen, tell us all that God has commanded us." Now, notice in verse 34 and 35, we want to see that not only did God give us the law and the principles and the commandment not to show respect to persons in judgment, not to favor one over another, but we see that God is this way. That's why that he give us this principle. Said in verse 34 and 35, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." Then he said in verse 35, "But in every nation..." This is all peoples. "In every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." And so we find here that that Peter was given a vision that now the Gentiles are included. You know, they can be saved. And of course, Peter gives his testimony in chapter 15 at the first council meeting of the church in Jerusalem. But he says here, Peter says in verse 34, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." In other words, he's sent out to this Gentile family or whoever was gathered together here. Now, notice with me in the book of James in chapter 2. Now, there's a number of passages that shows us that God is no respecter of persons. One of those is in Romans 2, verses 6 and 11. Another passage, and I'm not asking you to turn to these, I'll read maybe one or two of these. Another one is in Galatians in chapter 3, and he's talking about the children of God. We're the children of God by faith, verse 26 to 29, and we've all been baptized into Christ who have faith. And he tells us that we are, if we're Christ, we are the seed of Abraham and heirs to the promise. But in verse 28, it says this. This shows us how God feels about this subject. It says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus." Spiritually speaking, we're all one, whether it be Jew or Gentile, bond or free, male or female. So this is how that God feels about this subject. We'll see this very clearly in the book of James. We also find in Colossians chapter 3, and again, I'm not asking you to turn to this, but in verse 25, it says, "But he that doeth wrong shall receive the wrong which is done." And he says in verse the latter part of the verse, "And there is no respect of persons." That's what I was looking for. We also would find this in Ephesians 6, 9 and 1 Peter 1, verse 17. So this is not an isolated subject. That's why I focused in on that particular verse in Proverbs. And I just felt like it would be good for all of us to remind ourselves of these truths. Now, notice as we come to James chapter 2, James chapter 2, and this chapter basically shows us the evidence of genuine faith. The first so many verses is going to be talking about being partial in judgment or showing favoritism in judgment that we should not do. The latter part of this chapter is showing us that faith without works is dead. This is not a contradiction to Romans 4 or Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. He's dealing here with the practical side of salvation. And we're not to be impartial when it comes to other people and judging, again, being prejudiced, prejudging, before we ever know somebody. And don't tell me you've never done that. We've all made evaluations of people before we ever got to know them. And this chapter will relay it out. I know I've done that. And I would assume that most Christians have done the same. Now, I'm going to read several verses here, and I'm just going to start and read and just make comments as we go. And we're going to see very clearly that Jesus himself, not only God the Father, but God the Son, that he was no respect of persons when it comes to judgment, making decisions. Again, we are not to be partial. One writer put it, "Are we partial to the haves and ignore the haves not?" And we're not to be prejudiced in our judgment, whether it be the color of the skin, culture, nationality, whether it be wealth, poverty, education, and we could go on with a list of synonyms. We're not to be partial in our judgment. As a matter of fact, verse 9 clearly tells us it is a sin against God. Now, notice as we begin here in verse 1. He said, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons." In other words, Jesus did not have respect of persons. And notice in verse 2, he gives us an example, and it has to do with the church. He said, "If there come unto your assembly," that is, like we're gathered here tonight, the congregation. He said, "If there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment," in other words, rags or dirty raiment. He said in verse 3, "And you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and saith unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool." Verse 4, "Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts?" Now just think about this. He said in verse 5, and by the way, I've seen this in the assembly. I've seen people as poor as dirt come into the assembly, not dressed very well over the years. And I've also seen wealthy people come through the doors that's worth millions of dollars. And so he's telling us how that we are to be observant of this and how that we're to think about it and what we form in our minds with it. He goes on to say, and by the way, when he compares the rich and the poor, this doesn't mean every poor person is saved and loves God. They have to be rich in faith. And it doesn't mean that every rich person is an evil person. But in general, notice what he said in verse 5. He says, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme the worthy name by which you're called?" Now, in general, that's true, but not every rich person does that. And not every poor person has faith in God. But then notice, as we read the next three verses, well, verse 9, let me skip to there and read that. He said, "But if you have respect of persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." So we find that when we pass judgment, again, being prejudiced, prejudging, making decisions before we ever know someone, based upon the way they're dressed, based upon the color of their skin, based upon their education or anything, then we are violating God's holy law. Right. And now I want to back up to verse 8 and notice this. He said in verse 8, he said, "If you fulfill the royal law." Now that's an interesting statement. A number of years ago, preached an entire message on that and wrote an article titled, "The Royal Law." I was fascinated with it. As a matter of fact, I've been fascinated with just the commandments in general in the New Testament. I have people quite often tell me we're not under any commandments today. We're under the New Covenant. Well, one writer, I can't remember when he wrote this, but he lived from the early 1900s up to about, I don't know, 1970s maybe. And he went through the Bible. I've never done this, but he went through the Bible and counted all the New Testament commandments. And he said he come up with 1,050. Well, we do have commandments in the New Testament. The Lord Jesus said in John 14:13, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And in 1 John 5, the first few verses, he says, "My commandments are not grievous." In other words, we shouldn't look at something and say, "Oh, no, not again." We should look at it and say, "Lord, teach me this and show me this that I can keep your commandments because I love you." But notice this royal law that is mentioned here. As a matter of fact, this is summed up and I'll give you, well, we'll just turn there and close in just a moment. But notice he said, "If you fulfill the royal law." Notice that. This is the law of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It is actually called in verse 12 the law of liberty. This is what we would be judged by. This is what we're to live by. And it's called in chapter 1, verse 25, the perfect law of liberty. So this is a wonderful law. It's a New Testament laws. And he said, if you fulfill, and by the way, in chapter 4 and verse 12, Jesus is the law giver. So he said in verse 8, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, and here's the royal law, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. Loving our neighbor as herself. This is the law of Christ that he lived by and that he gave to you and I to live by, and that one day we will be judged by. Notice with me in Matthew 22. Very familiar passage to you. In Matthew chapter 22. Now the Lord Jesus in the upper room the night before the crucifixion, John 13, verse 34 and 35, he tells his disciples in that passage, he said, turn there and make sure I get it right. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. He said in verse 35, by this all men shall know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. He didn't say that all men will know that you're my disciples, that you can quote a ton of scriptures, which there's nothing wrong with that. But he says that we have love for one another as Jesus loved them. And also, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I better go there. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he said in verse 26, he said, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. He didn't say not any, because they are some mighty and noble that are called, but he said not many. But he goes on to say, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and the base things, that is the low things. He's chosen the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So we got to be extremely careful in our judgment of others and how we receive them, because Christ died for them. And there's more of them that come to saving faith in the Lord than the high and mighty. As a matter of fact, when you read through the book of Revelation, chapter 5 and verse 9, he speaks of the redeemed. And he says, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and he also repeats this in chapter 7 and verse 9, he speaks of this great multitude, which is referring to the church, which no man can number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. So that's the people that God is saving. And again, there's many other examples throughout the scripture. Romans 13:10 tells us that to love our neighbor as ourself, loving others, is the fulfillment of God's law. And then in Romans 15, verses 1 through 7, he tells us that we are to receive one another as Christ has received us. Well, we just got to think about how did Christ receive us. That's the way that we're to receive others. We're not to prejudge and so forth, as whether we meet people or they come into our assembly or whatever the case may be. I'm going to close here, and I'm going to give you one other verse, John 7:24. I said I'd give it to you in the beginning of the message. The Lord Jesus said, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Amen. All right, now notice in Matthew chapter 22. Reading from verse 34 through verse 40. He said 34, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? In verse 37, now notice the next two verses, well, the next three verses. Here's the two great commandments. Everything else hangs upon this. He said in verse 37, Jesus said to him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. I think it's Mark that adds the word strength in there too. He said in verse 38, this is the first and great commandment. And then in verse 39 and 40, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. If we just kept these two commandments, we would be keeping all of the commandments of God, because everything hangs on these two right here. Would you stand with me, please? Father, we do thank you for this day, this time that you've given us. Thank you for your love and mercy to us. Lord, help us to take to heart these scriptures. I know they've been a blessing to me and a check to me also this week as I've looked at this. And we just ask now your blessings upon the remaining of the service, for it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.